you're late.
Am I?
I mean, I've been waiting here the whole time.
You're lying.
Hello, welcome to Share Motivation Podcast. I'm excited because I have my mini me here. My little mini me here. This is my daughter, Amyla. I know we look like sisters, but yeah, this is my baby. But anyway, she helps me, you know, from time to time with this podcast.
I help you all the time with this podcast.
But anyway, I wanted us to do an episode together because, and I have titled it Growing Pains. I titled it Growing Pains because you and I, well, you know, we lock horns a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. I'm agreeing. Like, it seemed like you. It seemed like low key. Like you had some stuff you want to get off your chest.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so I wanted us to get together. I mean, we're doing better during this cycle of our life, but it took us a long time to even get here.
Yeah.
Where we're like, you know, like good. But anyway, I wanted to do this episode so that we could get together and just kind of iron out the growing pains and just go over just some wrinkles in the mother-daughter relationship. And I know a lot of you guys can relate because a lot of us are raising kids, you know, some of us are single parents. And so I thought that this would be very cathartic. So with that being said, first of all, I want to say I'm very proud of the young lady that you are.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes. But let's back up. You know, I think I haven't never done this, and so I'm going to do it now. So raising you was like a little bit of trial and error.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you were the first child. So I didn't know it all. I don't have like this little notebook that is like, okay, do this, check, and it's going to go like this. You know, I had you when I was your age.
Right.
So you imagine how busy your life is now and just imagine having a child. So you have to give me some grace. You children have to give us parents some grace because we don't know everything. And we're at the end of the day just trying to figure it out. Okay. So let's start with your younger years. Okay. So how do you remember me as a mom in your younger years? I'm talking about bobos in your hair.
Okay. I don't really know. I mean, I remember, but I don't remember, like, at the same time. Like, it's kind of like, I know I was, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like, I know I was there, but, like, I don't remember, you know?
Okay. So, when you look back at your younger years, do you feel like you had a good childhood, a fair childhood, moderate, great?
I mean, I feel like it was, I mean, it was fair. I mean, I don't really remember doing anything bad when I was at that point.
Oh,
like,
you don't remember doing nothing bad.
I really don't.
We're talking 10 and younger there. So
yeah.
Okay, so let's move to the teenage years.
Oh Lord, I don't want to talk about this.
Next. But, no, wheel it on back. So the teenage years was hard.
How so?
Well, because I feel like that's the pathway to you trying to navigate yourself into young womanhood. Mm-hmm. And the world is the way the world is, and then you have your parents trying to steer you left, steer you right, trying to instill good things into you so that you can avoid some pitfalls that are unnecessary. So during the teenage period, I'm talking like 13 to 17, what's like the one thing you wanted to make me aware of or let me know, you know, that you feel like, you know, parents need to know this stuff and, you know, give me your perspective because it's different being a teenager out than when it was when.
Yeah. I personally think that something I would have, that I guess that I really wish you would have did was to, I don't want to say experiment, but just to let me be with who I wanted to be with at the time.
Who is this person?
I don't want to name drop, but I wish that you would have just allowed me to experiment for myself. I'm not going to say the name.
I would experiment with, it was a special interest you had took in a person, a boy.
I wouldn't say boy, but in a person. And I really wish that you would have just allowed me to experiment and see if that was something that I wanted. And then I could have made that judgment on my own besides you, like, shutting it down.
Well, I think the biggest thing that I want you to understand, and there are some parents that probably feel this way too, when you live under the roof of your parent, mm-hmm. it's certain stuff, it just ain't going down. My children are never going to be able to come here and light up a blunt in front of me and smoke it. They're not going to be able to just have this revolving door of partners that they just have come laying around the house and coming in the house any time of hour. Some parents may allow it. It's probably some parents that's listening. It's like, yeah. So here's the thing. Some stuff just ain't going to be allowed mm-hmm. when you are a certain age and you're open to so many different impressions. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of like, okay, it's happening on my watch. You know, when you get older and you want to make certain decisions, then I can love you through those, but you stand strong on and firm on your own 2 feet then. Mm-hmm. So if you get yourself in a dilly of a pickle, you can't look back and be like, Mom, why you let me do this? I really don't need to be like, what? I have gotten myself into a mess. You can't blame it on me. So, I mean, I think boundaries are put in place for a reason. You know, and experimenting with drugs or experimenting with relationships, you know, all of those things, you know, some of them shouldn't happen. Some of them don't need to happen. But if they're going to happen, you need to be in a place of maturity where you've made those decisions on your own.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like they're somehow my fault. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Give you that time to mature and grow, teach you the lessons that you need to learn under my roof. And now when you get out here, if you decide, because the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. So if I allow you to do certain things under my watch as a routine, mm-hmm. then it's just the same thing. When you go out in the world, you'll still repeat those behaviors. I don't expect you to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. Some of your mistakes may break my heart, but you still will revert back to the root of the things that I taught you and that I allowed you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so you don't remember much. Okay, so describe what kind of parent I was in your teenage years.
In my teenage years, I feel like you were, I would say, kind of strict.
Okay, strict-like. Give me some of the things that makes me strict.
I don't know, like, I felt like I wasn't really allowed to go out, or not really, like, allowed to go out, but I was scared to ask you if, like, I could go to, like, a party, or I just feel like you would say no, or, like, if I wanted to go, I don't know, I feel like if I wanted to go out, I just feel like it would be no, or, like, if I asked for something, it would be, like, no, you know?
If you asked for something, like,
I don't know, just anything, you'd just be like, no, you don't need that. No, no, no.
felt like I was strict growing up in your teenage years.
No, I felt like you were strict when I was growing up. I don't feel like you were strict when you were growing up.
Oh, baby, you wouldn't even survive in my time.
Probably not.
You wouldn't even survive.
I'm Gen Z, not a millennial.
Well,
you're a millennial.
What is this Gen Z?
You don't know what Gen Z is?
I hear people talking about it.
It's like, I don't know. So, like,
every 10 years they come up with millennial, binial, Gen Z.
No, I think it's just millennial, Gen Z, and then I think it's like alpha or something. And Ashton, my brother's, they're like alpha. And then I'm Gen Z. Gen Z is like any the age between, I think it's like
that's 20. The problem with y'all kids. Y'all got like, too many choices.
It's like 20 and like 15 right now, I think. Maybe I could be wrong. Someone fact check that.
Okay, so. So, I was strict on you as a teenager. So, mm-hmm. but you did a lot of stuff. You went to the mall. You had sleepovers. You hung out at a friend's house and got yourself into trouble there. You know, the little bit of rope that I did give you, like, you always hung yourself. So, my thing raising you as a teenager is, you know, I have to prepare you for the stuff that you're going to face when you go out in the world.
Okay, so I don't think that there's, like, a word for this, but I feel like, yeah, you were strict, but strict wasn't really the word. It's really, like, okay, I get in trouble for something, right? It's the fact that you would, like, always bring it up, or you would make jokes of whatever it is.
And I probably really did do that.
You did do it, and you did it, and you would hold on to it for, like, a long time. And for you, it would be funny, but to me, it really wouldn't be. Like, I would be like, oh, man. I could come to you and say, yeah, like, my head hurts. Like, I'm so, like, exhausted, or, like, it's just a pounding headache in my head. And then I could be laying in my bed on the phone, and you're like, well, that's probably why your head hurts, because you're on your phone, when the phone doesn't have anything to do with the headache. Or, like, I could come to you and say, like, ugh, I'm feeling, like, pain in, like, my stomach or something. And he was like, yeah, all that talking you do, that's probably why you got pain in your stomach. Like, you would somehow relate
to whatever I'm going through. So you felt like I was picking with you or something?
I mean, I guess I would be picking, but you would, like, drag it on, like, and it could be, like, a couple weeks down the line from when it originally happened, and you would still bring it up. Mm. I don't think there's a word for that.
I don't really remember doing that. I do. This is what I remember. I remember bringing stuff up, like, this is what I remember, like, you know, you're at home and you don't want to clean up, you're all lazy, you know, you're messy, your room is messy or something. I'd be like, well, you had all this energy when you wanted to hang out with so-and-so and so-and-so, your head wasn't hurting when you was out there, you know, vaping with your friends at school or after work, or, you know, like, you know, I would never forget the time. Now this is what I'm saying. I goes into this child's room, and I'm like, I open the door and I'm saying something like, yeah, did you put up the clothes? Do you know that you didn't put up the dishes? There's still dishes in the seat. She's standing there like, and for those that are listening, I'm going to describe. She's standing there like a stiff statue. Her eyes are following the conversation, but her body and her mouth is like very rigor mortis-y, like very tight, very stone faced. So I'm like, girl, do you hear me talking to you? Like, why are you standing there looking like that? And she was like, and I don't know what I asked you, but something required you to speak. So as she's standing there in the middle of the room, and I'm at the door, and this is going on for about 10 seconds, and I finally get to a place where she had to speak. She answers me, and like a puff of smoke comes out, like a puff of smoke, like if you smoke hookah or you vape or something like that, like a puff. And I'm like, and I go downstairs, and I'm like, this girl got smoke coming out her mouth. Like, so after that, it's like, yeah, you know, you too tired. You won't tired when you was up there vaping and blowing. And, you know, so for me, I don't really feel like I guess I did have a semi-smart aleck way of parenting. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Maybe it was therapeutic for me at the time. I don't know. So as far as our mother-daughter bond, like, do you feel like as a teenager we were close?
No.
Okay. Okay. No. And what makes you feel like we weren't close?
I don't know. I feel like we were just really, like, bumping heads a lot. We really couldn't see eye to eye. I think growing up, I really wish that you communicated with me more and talked with me through certain things. Mm-hmm. And not was just so quick to punish. Mm-hmm. I wish it was more so of a conversation instead of like, oh, no, go to your room, no phone for a month, no. I wish it was more of like a conversation that me and you could have had. I don't know. I think it was just, we just couldn't really see like eye to eye on a lot of stuff.
So.
But I also understand that I was young at the time. Mm-hmm. And so there was more things that you, obviously you knew that I didn't know. And I wish that you would have talked to me more about it mm-hmm. instead of, because you made yourself really unrelatable growing up to me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's fair to say because it was always a quick punishment. It wasn't really a talking to, or if it was a talking to, it was like after the fact and after everything had just blown up. And I don't know, it just, you just didn't seem like relatable to me growing up.
Okay. Well, I'll accept that. I think for me, like, growing up, I grew up with a single mom. And I had you when I was young.
Right.
And it was a lot going on because while I was pregnant with you, I lost my mom. I had to figure it out. I had to figure out my living situation, how I was going to earn money. It was a lot going on. I don't blame you for that, but just, I'm just telling you what it was. And I remember my uncle came down. He was helping me get all her affairs in order. And he was just like, yeah, you know, if you want to get rid of that baby, we can get rid of that baby. And I was like, no, this is my baby. I'm going to figure it out. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So I was like thrown into motherhood at the worst possible time, you know, imaginable. I had just lost my mom. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, how I was going to live, earn a living, all of the things. And it was just very difficult. So part of the lack of communication is just a survival technique of my own. Mm-hmm. And it did spill over into my parents. And for that, I apologize because mm-hmm. some things are a teachable moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that us parents, you know, it's difficult to find the balance of a punishable and a teaching moment because our emotions are instantly involved. We want the best for you. We know you know better because yeah. you come from us. And it's like, what are you thinking? You know, but some stuff is a teachable moment. So for that, I will say, I apologize. You know, watching you grow up, I was so focused on giving you a different life than what I had.
Yeah.
I was so determined to make sure you didn't grow up in the hood.
Yeah.
I was so determined to make sure that me and you didn't have to ride the city bus. Oh, my baby. No, I mean, yeah. I wanted to give you a better life. And I realized that in trying to give you a better life, that there are some things that I dropped the ball on. Aww. So for that, I apologize. And I want you to know I love you. But I probably could have been more sensitive to things that you were feeling and growing. And just coming down into your world a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was so busy trying to think about, like, okay, I need to further my education because I need to find a job that's going to allow me to live in this sort of neighborhood. You know, I have to get a car. You know, it was a lot of things that I was trying to figure out. So yeah. when it came time to you, it was more militant, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know. I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm not saying it's a horrible thing. I'm just saying that's where I was. It was, no, you're going to go to bed. No, you're not going to be at that party. No, well, who's going to be there? What's going to be going on? Spend a night over there. I have to meet the parents first. Like, it was all of these things and these boundaries that I was trying to set up for you. Because in my mind, if I did those things, then I would give you a good life. I would give you a better life than I had. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I wanted for you. Because growing up, my mom, she didn't give me, if I look back on it, the best life. I guess she did the best she could, mm-hmm. but I always felt like this is not how I want to grow up. This is not how I would want my kids to grow up. One day I'm going to have kids, and I just, they're not going to grow up like this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I will admit that some things I dropped the ball on. And like I said, some things are teachable moments, not punishable moments. So, nearing the end of your teenage years, so say 17, 18, 19, how was that experience? Those are the years you're navigating into grown womanhood. So, those years you're navigating into grown womanhood, what was it? What was our relationship through your eyes like then? This is when you're learning to drive, you got your first job.
Yeah. I mean, you were very helpful. Like, you were very, like, in the moment, like, with me. You did help me drive. I remember driving and I was like very scared. Like, I was like driving on the lines. Like, it was so bad.
You asked me, this girl asked me to ride with her to go driving. And I remember that day, I had to make me a little drinky drink. If they pull us over, I'm going to have me a buzz or something. I did. And I'll never forget, I was at the light. I mean, I took a drink to, like, calm my nerves. I mean, it wasn't like I had the bottle or nothing, but I did have me a little drink. And I just remember, it gave me like a sense of humor about it, the whole thing, to relax me a little bit. I mean, it's probably not the best thing, but that's what I did. And I remember we were at the light and I was like talking to you, trying to help you. I was like, well, yeah, this is how you should do it. And I just remember looking over at this guy and he was just like laughing. I guess he could tell like she was a new driver. And I remember looking at him, and I just remember putting my hand on the window like, help me. I mouthed the words, help me. And he started laughing. You know, but it was fun when I was at him. Okay, so I was present in the moment. Yeah. I got to drive.
And I think at this point, like, I was also starting to, like, apply to colleges, and you were giving me, you know, a lot of good feedback and your opinion on what I should be prepared for and how I should prepare myself and what I should expect. And, you know, that was probably, like, not the strongest we've been, but I think we were getting, like, better from what was going on from the past. So I feel like we were definitely, like, building our relationship then. And I think it even helped when I had went away from college. I think that made us stronger because I think we had time to miss each other, you know?
I was sad. When you went to college, I was happy and sad at the same time. Yeah. I don't even know how to explain that to people listening, watching. If you have a child that's getting ready to go off to college, it's like this bittersweet moment because it's a testament to how clearly, okay, I've done something right. But then it's like, well, they're all the way over there. What if they get in with the wrong crowd? What if they start failing their classes? What if they're, you know, just staying out on her? What if they get kidnapped walking across the campus? And that was a big thing, too, during your latter years of teenage. Like, I was, because they were human trafficking people like crazy, you know, and I was just always like, what's going on, you know? But I remember dropping you off, getting you set up in your dorm, and taking that long walk back to the parking garage.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's so far.
And the window, there's the window. You can look, and I can see your dorm, and I remember just standing there just looking for a second. And I got a little teary-eyed. I was like, okay, but I'm going to get through this because she needs this experience. She needs this experience. But also, I couldn't help but feel like I gave her the life that I didn't get to have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm finally at the place where I gave her the life that I didn't get to go off to college and live in the dorm. I did go to college, but in a whole different way. But, and so I was just excited about that. As scary as it was also exciting.
Yeah, I don't really think I was sad until I had seen your Facebook post that you made. And I didn't get sad until I saw that. And I was like, dang, like, I'm about to get teary. I was like, dang, now I'm kind of sad.
Oh, yeah, because that was the sad. I sat in my car and typed that. I sat in my car and typed that, and it was like this long. I probably can find it somewhere. But it was just, you know, just a little prayer over, you know, your child, they're not going to be right there. You want them to do the good things. And I was just asking God to light a fire under your feet for the things that are right.
Yeah.
And I knew that you're going to be at college and there's going to be situations. I'm not going to be there. Mm-hmm. And we have to rely on the teachings all the way up until this point. And I was like, a big part of me was like, okay, she's going to be good.
Yeah.
She's going to be good. You don't have to worry about it. But there's always this small part that's like, I mean, but how do you know you're not going to be there?
Yeah. I mean, but I did pretty good in college. I mean, I didn't get into trouble. Well, besides when Neptune, I brought my dog on campus and I got a student conduct because he was running around.
These kids is bringing dogs on campus.
He was running around the campus and somebody recorded it and they sent it. So I had to go to like the student conduct thing and talk about that. And I had to write a reflection essay.
So you had Neptune. Now people listening are going to go, what? She had a dog on campus. So let's address that. Back up. So you go to school. I had to dog sit this dog, first of all. For the first 6 months.
It was not 6 months. The first semester was like 4 months.
August, September, October, November, December. And then January, you came back and got it. It felt like a year to me.
But yes, I ended up bringing my dog on campus.
Why? Well, how did you do that? What was the dog brought on campus for?
So he was brought on campus as my emotional support dog.
Now, pause. Now, back in my day, emotional support. You better emotionally support yourself and cleaning your room, getting your homework done. I mean, emotionally support. So, why did you need emotional support at the campus?
Neptune was being very aggressive here. Like, he had very aggressive behaviors here. And he was like, you got to find something to do with the dog.
Yeah, because I was going to drop the dog off down by the lake.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah, down by the lake.
Neptune is, like, the type of dog where he doesn't really like being in cages. He's not a caged dog, like, at all. So, when it was time for him to get in the cage, he would be growling, you know, being very aggressive. And I had to find a way to bring him with me anyway.
Well, before all of that, we had already decided that Neptune being here was going to be a temporary thing. So you brought him there as an emotional support dog. But what I was, you know, why did you feel like you needed an emotional support animal?
I think in college, like, I think I really missed him. Like, I really, like, missed him because it was just, he was always there, you know? And then going from having, like, a pet always here to, like, not having anything there because I didn't really I met people on campus, but it really was like, okay, you see them, you're hanging out with them, but then you're going back to your room and now you're alone. But Neptune, he was always with me, like even in the bed, or he'd get in the bed and we'd play, and he was just always there. So going from having something or someone always there to not having someone always there was just like a big adjustment.
Okay. So what was the climate like on the college? I know for parents that's listening and watching, once you go off the college, like, what is the climate like on campus? Are people smoking weed? Are they having sex? Are they hanging out?
All of that. There's
You sounded ready to say all that. You sounded
all of that.
Pipe down.
Don't do that. No, but really, like, all of that. Like, there was, like, I wasn't even really, like, used to, like, I really didn't know what to expect. I knew that kids were gonna do, like, their own thing because they're finally free from their parents or they're not under the supervision of whatever. But there was, like, a group of, like, nursing students who every night would, like, go out and sit at the front of Owens and just, like, smoke. They'd be, like, after class, they'd be, like, yeah, y'all trying to go light a blunt?
Nursing? This is why healthcare is failing us
now. Nursing students. It was crazy.
Because they're smoking blunts and going to school online. That's why I almost died in the hospital. I thought somebody was playing a prank on me because they had. I'm doing it again, isn't it? I'm bringing the whole, like you said, when you was younger, you used to get on punishment. I used to keep bringing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why healthcare is failing us.
I mean, it was like very like, and then someone.
These are nurses in the making.
No, like someone had made a post about it on Instagram. They was like, I'm very like shocked at like this generation of healthcare workers. It's very surprising to see, students saying like, oh, after class y'all want to go smoke a blunt when you're paying all of this money and you're like essentially like either not studying or you're using like that valuable time to go do what, you know, like how is this going to benefit you in
any
way?
So you never smoked?
No comment.
Or are you pleading the fifth?
I plead the fifth. I mean, you told me to have fun in college.
I still believe in corporal punishment.
You told me to have fun in college. I didn't. Okay, so let's talk about the things I didn't do. I did not go to a party.
That's because you wanted to be all booed up.
I didn't go to a party.
How's that going?
It's going.
Okay. You didn't go to no parties.
You
didn't go to the ODU block party. I thought about going out there myself.
That was like the first day. Everybody had to do that. Everybody had to do it. But it was fun because it was like in the middle of the night. And like they had like a DJ. It was like, it wasn't even that late. It was like 10. And we was like in the quads. It's like a big open grass area. Mm-hmm. And they had us like separating groups. Like if your birthday's in January, March, February, whatever. Mm-hmm. And or like what's your favorite color? Go to a different circle. Mm-hmm. So we got to meet. We got to meet like a whole bunch of people. So okay. That was cool.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from you is we went off to college. I was sad in my car. Sad. And then you was going to block parties and getting separated by favorite color and all this. Y'all had DJs and food and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's really organized that first welcome week. They do their best to help you like settle in break the ice and stuff like
that. The first week was fun because every day they had something new going on. But after that first week, it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, going in.
So what do you want parents to know about their child that's going off to college?
Everything you think they're doing, they're probably doing.
That's probably the most truthful thing you said.
Everything that said is truthful, but I feel like for parents who are concerned for their child to go to college, don't be, because I really think it's an experience that everyone or that kids need to experience, because I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. I really believe that you're not really paying for the education. Like, yeah, physically you're paying for the education, mm-hmm. but you're really paying for the experience, because you can get the education other places as well, but you're really paying for the experience. And I did really have a lot of fun on college. Like, it was fun.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad. So, would you say that, you know, people talk a lot about the freshman 15, did that affect your self-esteem? How has your self-esteem changed throughout the years?
Like, oh my gosh. I look back from when I was like a senior in high school. I was very, very skinny.
Skinny.
I was very, very skinny. And then from senior year to now, like I definitely gained like 40 pounds.
But like, it looks good on you, though.
Honestly. Yeah, I mean, sometimes, like, I'll be like, okay, like, yeah, I look good. But then, like, other times, like, I do have, like, dang, like, I feel fat.
Being a woman, honey, mm-hmm. because I feel like that at least a week and a half out of every single month. Like, I wake up like I belong on my 600-pound life. And then, for whatever reason, when I get up in the morning, I'm like an old Buick. I got to rev the engine. My feet got to...
Oh, my God.
My feet be hurting when I wake up. So, just keep living. Just keep living. So, in terms of your self-esteem, as far as the mother-daughter relationship, do you feel like I hurt your self-esteem, I helped your self-esteem, I didn't really pour into you, and, you know, how do you feel like that part of the parenting?
I definitely think that you helped my self-esteem, mm-hmm. and I say this because when I was, you know, in college, or I was in high school, or still even now, like I said, you used to joke with me a lot, and you used to bring up past situations and still bring it up to, like, present day. If other people were to, like, joke on me now, like, it doesn't really bother me mm-hmm. as much. Like, I know how to just walk away from that conflict and just, like, move on, or I know a good comeback. You know what I'm saying? Or I know a good comeback to say. But like...
Yeah, because you like the joke too.
From now and then. Every now and then.
Yeah. You like the joke
Nothing
too.
Nothing too much. Nothing too much.
But you know, you was telling me one time about some of your friends. They had gotten themselves into some situations. Mm-hmm. No, nothing major. But you were just listening to them vent. And I remember you saying, I'm really glad you taught me to tap into my common sense.
Yeah. And that's, like, the same thing with, like, college. Like, everyone is coming from different homes, right? So everything that they've learned at home, they're obviously going to bring it on campus. Mm-hmm. And there were some things that I've seen that was just very, very questionable. Like, mm-hmm. very, very questionable. And it just made me like, why would anybody even do that? And I called my mom and I was like, you know what? I'm very glad that you taught me what you taught me, because you really gave me common sense. Because there's people that's living in this dorm that are just like disgusting, like very, very much disgusting. Like it was nasty. Mm. It was nasty.
That's crazy. So do you miss right now? So currently I'm navigating you into the final threshold. The thing about being a parent is your job is never done. That's why I call it growing pains, because life is about evolution. We're all growing. We're all learning. Parents make mistakes. You know, at the end of the day, we want our children, and I think I speak for all of our listeners and our viewers, but if you are a parent, man or woman, and you're showing up and you're present, all you really want is your child to grow up being responsible, well-rounded, just a good overall person who, you know, has a relationship with God, who's just trying to do the right thing, earn a living correctly. You know, it's like all of these things that you want for your child.
Right.
So now we're on the phase of we're navigating into, like, you know, still in college, but, you know, we're at the halfway mark, almost third quarter, like Jordan in 92. Well, that was Jordan in fourth quarter. It don't
girl
matter.
Girl,
whatever quarter it was. But now you're living on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Got a job, driving a decent car. Did I pay the insurance on?
She does.
I also got you the car.
She did.
Like, 21, you're going to be paying for your own car insurance.
I don't feel like I should.
I feel like you should. That's another thing.
I feel like, maybe I could do, start doing half. Like, tip me in, put me in, toe by toe, you know?
No, dive right in.
No, I don't want to dive right in. No dive.
No, take a deep dive.
Mm-mm.
You can't just, you have to get into it.
I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, it's real life, real bills. You got the car. I had to sell my, first of all, I gave her my old car.
She did.
Drove that and got into, multiple accidents.
I got into two accidents.
Thank God you're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And now we had to sell that car to get a different
car. We did not sell that car to get a new car.
We did. And we'll leave it there. We're not going to put that on there. We had to sell that car and got a new car. Nonetheless, you're driving a different car. And it's a little bit nicer. I rode in it today for the first time. Because she'll never pick me up.
Oh my God.
I want to love you.
What?
I want to take a ride with you.
I got the car in January.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, in January. So.
And it's March. This is my first time ever being in the car.
We never made plans to go out or anywhere where I was supposed to pick you up or anything. I haven't even been in your BMW. In your new car. Let's talk about that.
It ain't no new car. It ain't mine. She lying.
Let's talk about your new car.
Okay, so let's talk about corporal punishment.
Oh my gosh.
Me and you have talked multiple times about corporal punishment.
Have we?
Yeah, and growing up.
Oh.
I used to whoop that butt.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes you needed to have a whooping. Sometimes you won't listen. You was very hard-headed.
No comment.
So, I know the Bible also says, spare the rod and spoil the child.
That's every parent's favorite line when they want to justify what they're doing.
Well. So, you don't feel that when you have children of your own that you'll use the belt or corporal punishment?
I don't think so, no. I don't think I would do that.
Okay.
I think that there's multiple different ways to parent. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's the wrong way to parent. But growing up on that, I don't think I would do it. I mean, you don't really do that to Ashton or Nolan anymore. Like, not...
And they're the ones that need to be beaten.
Not, like, you don't do it to them as much as you do it to me.
It just feel that way.
No, it really is. Like, you don't do it to them as much as you do it to
do
me.
Do you feel like I have a favorite child?
I feel like Ashton got in a fight and he didn't get a whooping for that. Where's his whooping?
That's a good point.
That's a good point. Because if I was to get in a fight, I'd get a whooping from each parent.
No, actually, you did get into a fight when you were in high school, and you did not get a whooping.
I did not get in a fight in high school. I got in a fight in middle school.
Well, but you didn't get a whooping.
Well, that's because one of them, they jumped me. Like, I got jumped. Like. Mm.
Okay.
We won't talk about that, but that's true.
So, what is the thing that you feel like young women your age, what's that like one thing you feel like they really want to just tell their parent? Like, what's that thing you watch these people on the TikTok and you send all these things to me?
One thing they really want to tell their parents?
Yeah, because you like sent some stuff to me, like toxic household. Oh, that's what it was. Toxic household. Do you feel like we had a toxic household?
Growing up in my teenage years, yes.
And what made it toxic?
I think your inability to be relatable. I think it was... I don't know. I can't think right now. That's what I'm going to say.
I mean, I probably think it's the communication.
Communication too, yeah.
I think I know women raising girls, young women, it's that I got to have the last word syndrome. The last word will get you slapped. Okay. Now, I know growing up, my mom didn't play. You know, what she said, like, you had that one little sentence, and then you keep going, you might find yourself getting up off the floor. You might find yourself getting up off the floor. So my mom didn't play. I know that I had weps and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think, I will say this. I'm very proud of you. You've made your mistakes. So have I as a parent. We all do. The one thing I can attest to is you're very smart. You're working. You're out on your own. You're independent. You know, it's so many other things that you could be doing that you're not doing. Mm-hmm. And even though you've made your mistakes, good, bad, or indifferent, I'm so very proud of you. Never been to jail. You don't have a criminal record. Never use drugs.
Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome. You know, and so I wanted to have this conversation so we could just unpack, you know, the growing pains and get your feedback. And we've talked about the early years, you know, the preteen years, the teenage years, the college life. And I would say that I love you very much. You'll have this episode if something happens to me long years from now.
Oh my God, I hate when she does that. Like, I really hate when she does that.
Death is a bridge that we all got to cross, you know. So that's why I say you'll have this episode for a long time. You can watch it and if something happens to me. But needless to say, I am just so proud of you and on this journey now. I feel like we're crossing a new threshold. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm still mommy. I'm always going to be mommy. Parenting never stops. Your kids always need you. They just need you on different levels. And there is certain things that you won't ever really get until you have children of your own.
Yeah.
I agree. The sacrifice, all of the, even though you love to say, oh, you talked to me about the sacrifice, but I didn't ask to be here. But you're here, and you have a good life. So.
Oh, you wanted me to say something right then?
I was going to, because I was going to use the corporal punishment that we talked about. But no, I feel like we're opening a new journey, because you look over at these babies that are yours, and all of a sudden, they morph into these little people that are like also your friend. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I call you, what are you doing? Oh, what did you eat? What are you cooking? Mom! You know, and all that stuff you do. But it's like you're blossoming into an adult. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see what's in store for you. Yeah. I'm excited to see you finish up college, start your nursing career, you know, and just helping you navigate that space and being still your mom, but also I can add the friend dimension, because when you're a teenager, I can't be your friend. Mm. You know, it's I am mother, I am law.
Oh my God.
that was my favorite statement. I am mother, I am law. But now I get to watch you just blossom into this little butterfly.
Yeah, and like reflecting back on it, like I had told you before, like you weren't the mother that I wanted, but you are the mother that I needed. Like, and I can truly say, like, yeah, I mean, you weren't the mother that I wanted, but growing up, you have taught me so much. Like, I wouldn't be able to learn what I've learned from any other mother if I would have had a different mother, you know? So you're very much one of a kind. High five. That was a good one, right?
I'm still trying to figure out where to put that.
Oh my gosh.
You mean they weren't the mother that I wanted?
I mean, because every teenager is going to feel like they had another parent. Like, oh, like, my parent doesn't understand me. They don't know where I'm coming from. Like, I wish I had a different parent. Every child, every teenager is going to feel like that.
So but you go in your room and be like, man, she getting on my nerves.
Of course. Yeah. Every teenager feels like that. Every teenager feels like, dang, like, I wish I had a different parent sometimes. But growing up, once you get through those, you know, those hurdles and those bumps in the road, you'll grow up and you're like, well, dang, like, I'm glad that I had the parent that I did, because without them, I wouldn't have known how to handle certain things, mm-hmm. or I wouldn't have known how to adapt to certain things, or there's just things that I wouldn't have understand if I didn't go through what I went through with my parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, like I said, there's no fact handbook other than the Bible that comes with exactly, you know, but this world is just so different. And for me, part of the reason I was so militant is because I knew I had to instill certain things in you. Because when you got out in this world would chew you up and spit you out.
I knew that was coming.
You knew that was
coming. I knew you was going to say that.
Because I used to say that. And it's true. It's true. The world would chew you up and spit you out and not even look twice, you know, and not even care. So it was a lot of things that I felt like I needed to prepare you for and get in front of, you know, to help you. Even though some of the things, the very things I tried to get in front of, you didn't listen. And then you come back, you know, limping like a little wounded dog. And, you know, I got to help you through it. But that's okay, because I'm going to love you through it. But I'm just saying. So, yeah, I'm just happy and proud about who you are. I'm excited to see what's in store. And I really appreciate you coming on here and doing this episode for me. I hope that there's a mother-daughter duo out there that's listening. Or, you know, just I hope that it's helpful, the feedback that you've given me about my parenting. And just to be in this space where I can hear your feedback,
yeah,
and not feel away. Like when you said, I'm not the parent that you wanted.
And I just want to say, like, this is huge for her. This is huge.
I mean, I feel like you could have packaged that up a little bit different. But needless to say, that's your feeling and your testimony. So I'm going to allow you to have your testimony.
Testimony.
But I appreciate you for coming on here and doing this with me. And hopefully for people that are watching, this motivates you to have those conversations with your children. Some of the feedback you're gonna love, some of it not so much, but nonetheless it does create the footprint to have a discussion. And when you have a discussion, there's always room for growth. Thank you so much for watching. Come back next week for a brand new episode of Sheer Motivation Podcast. Before you leave, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Tell a friend and share if you care. And don't forget to catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. See you next week.
Bye, guys.